Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690 with Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue in for Rod Francis. Pierre McGuire is standing by in about 40 minutes or so. Arpan Basu of The Athletic will join us. He's hanging out and actually working for us today and tomorrow at the Habs Development Camp. We'll have a special guest after 6 o'clock as well. And we'll give you an opportunity to win double passes to Montreal Comic-Con featuring, among others, Val Kilmer and... Who's the dude
Jason
from...
Momoa.
Of course. Think Pierre knows who Jason Momoa is? Or
so.
As Gallo referred to him yesterday, Jason Mimosa.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm excellent, Mitch Melnick. How are you?
Doing good. A little warm in here. I don't know what's going on. It's going to be the annual tug of war between people who like it hot in the studio and those of us who like to cool off when we come into the studio. It's ridiculous in here.
I like it cool.
Yeah, you're alert when you're cool, right?
Yes.
And on Sunday, it's going to be very, very hot.
Very, is
it? Like crazy hot, Pierre. You were in Dallas. Apparently, it was crazy hot in Dallas.
Crazy hot.
It's going to be crazy hot here. Humidex about 46.
Wow.
Yeah, just warning you.
Okay.
Are you
I'll
home?
Be there.
Are you home right now?
I am.
Yeah. Anything shaking? Can you?
I just got back from Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, where my daughter committed to attend there. So.
Oh, she's going to get to eat quite often at Lou's Diner.
Yes, we were right by Lou's Bakery today.
What a great spot, huh?
Yeah, no, we're really excited. We just got back and really proud of her. So
good for her. Congratulations.
High school, but she decided to commit early, and we're really, really excited for her.
High-achieving kids. Who would have thought?
They do it. Their mom helps them, and I just, I'm just proud. I'm just a proud dad.
I thought of you last night when I was reading on the Montreal Canadiens website. I think a lot of fans have seen it. Maybe some fans haven't seen it yet. It was basically like a recruitment tool for UFAs written by Brendan Gallagher about
spectacular piece.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Read it. Really appreciate you forwarding it to me. And the biggest thing is that's written with passion, that's written with sincerity, and that's written with honor. And that matters a lot in the recruitment process. And, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that up just now after I just told you about, you know, the recruitment process and what my daughter's just gone through and what she's committed to. And that's one of the things that really led her to choose that institution that she'll be attending is the honor, the sincerity, and the passion that the people that were working there and that will be coaching her and teaching her illustrated to her. And that's what I got out of Brendan's column. So it's amazing that you would send that to me today, and it would be the day that, you know, my daughter committed to them formally.
Well, and it's also something that we've discussed a lot at this time of year through the years about, you know, how important it is. The teams that went to L.A. to make the pitch to Tavares, that requires a lot of thought, a lot of effort put into it, and I'm sure, by all accounts, everybody did a tremendous job. But it's got to be constant. It can't just be for the main dude out there who's available. It's got to be for everybody that you want to bring in. Here's why we want you, and here's what could be if you decide, even though there are some people out there saying you shouldn't go there, here's why you should join us.
The Montreal Canadian way matters, and you have to create that. Part of creating that, there are 25 banners that are hanging from the rooftop of the Bell Center. Part of that would be the retired numbers of the players that have played there before you. Part of that would be the legacy that's been created, not just province-wide, but worldwide by the CM. You know, I think there's so many things that go into building that brand. I shared that with Jeff Molson a bunch of different times when I was going through the interview process with him. And a big part of that, Mitch, is you've got these amazing ambassadors. And I'm going to give you an example as I go along here. Whether it's Guy Lafleur, whether it's Yvon Cornway, whether it's Steve Shutt, whether it's Larry Robinson, you've got these emissaries, these amazing natural emissaries of your organization that can tell people and players what it really means to win there, what it really means to put that sweater on, what it really means to play in front of those fans. I think that is one of the most important ways of branding yourself properly as an organization, is to go back. You utilize that legacy and those players and let them pontificate on how great it truly has been to be part of the Montreal Canadian way.
Pierre, we don't know the answer. We could speculate, but we don't know the answer. If the Canadians had had a much better season and had a decent playoff run, it resonates, right? It resonates. The guys who there are some players, their season ends, they take off, they don't really care until training camp. But a lot of players pay attention to what goes on, especially if you're potentially unrestricted. Certainly the run that they had after they got Jeff Petrie, it convinced Petrie to re-sign. He gave up the opportunity to hit the market because he was so impressed by what went down that spring. But in the aftermath of missing the playoffs two out of the last 3 years, you could see why players look at Montreal going, like, what's going down there? Do they have their act together? Where are they going?
That's fair. That's why
they need this.
That's exactly why they need this. And I'm going to defend the organization here, even though maybe I've been one of their most vocal critics, because I'm not impressed with the way they've done their professional scouting in particular and how they've tried to mold and build their team. Not impressed by that. I haven't been impressed with some of the drafts. I've been very straightforward on that. But they're still the Montreal Canadiens, and they're still owned by a fantastic ownership group led by Jeff Molson. I'm telling you right now they are. But what has to happen is people have to have the passion to want to play there. And the only way you can illustrate that is what Brendan Gallagher did through that article, which I think is magnificent. Or you get, whether it's Chris Nyland, or you get Guy Lafleur, or you get Steve Shutt, who was at the Hockey Hall of Fame the other night when I was there, or you get Yvon Cornway, who was there as well. You get obviously Jean Beliveau, Dickie Moore, they've passed on. But their legend lives forever. Their legend lives forever, and that's got to be part of this. And that's how you can get it back going again. But I think where players are a little afraid, and I know that agents are a little afraid, the cupboard's not full. And players are, I think, especially unrestricted players that are older, they're afraid to go into a situation where they're not going to get a lot of support on the ice through the players that are there right now. But I would say that this could be a quick fix, and that you can lead us to the promised land of fixing this. But again, this is not going to be easy. But they have to get back, and Mitch, I told you this a long time ago, they have to develop the Montreal Canadian way again. They lost their way. They got to get back to their way.
And a great, great point about players not being that well supported if they were to come to Montreal. And I asked you yesterday about Stastny and in Winnipeg getting to play with Ehlers and Laine, and who would that be in Montreal? And Pierre, that's why a certain passage from the Gallagher piece really stood out to me. It says, we have a good mix. We have some great veteran leaders and some young guys who are just about to enter their prime. But then he says, then there's Carey Price. Carey Price is Carey Price. In our minds, he's the best goaltender in the world. You can't win the ultimate prize without having a great goalie, but he's also a real leader in our group. He's such a calming presence. There's craziness going on around him, and he's always so even keel. And I thought it was interesting that he brought up Price, because I'm wondering, can you sell, if you don't have wingers, for a center to play or whatever have you, can you sell Carey Price to an unrestricted free agent?
You can, because every night that you put on your skates and you wear the sweater, with he's in net, you have a chance to win. Doesn't mean you're going to win every night, but it means that it's just like Marty Brodeur, who just got elected into the Hockey Hall of Fame, just like Patrick Roy, just like Dominic Hasek, just like Eddie Belfour. Any time those guys got in net, their team believed they had a chance, and the players around them believed they had a chance. And yes, Carey has that kind of magnetism, absolutely.
I would urge fans who haven't read it to read it, but I just want to, for those who haven't had the opportunity, you're driving, I just also want to pass along a couple of passages here. I've heard people talk about the pressure that comes with playing in a market like ours, but I've always enjoyed the pressure here. Everyone's a little different. Some people just can't handle it, and that's fine, but some people thrive on it. Losing isn't acceptable here, and it isn't tolerated. We saw that this year. But for everyone in the organization, whether it's management, the coaches, or the players, the expectation is to win. Fans are included in that as well. The biggest thing you hear from those guys, he's referring to some of the greats like Cournoyer, is what it's like to win in Montreal. I don't think there's a cooler city in the league you'd be able to have that celebration in. Imagine?
Well, we agree. You and I, you see, again, we're spoiled, and for the veteran listeners out there, you're spoiled as well if you grew up in Montreal. We got to witness this as almost every single spring when through the 70s. And it, Mitch, there was no rioting. There was no looting. There was no destruction of property. It was a celebration of greatness.
Yep.
Greatness. And could they go the next step? Would they win again? You know, the Philadelphia, the win in Philadelphia and the Larry Robinson tap dance on Dave Schultz, that's a different kind of cup than what they did in 79 against the Rangers. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah.
It was... And it's a different kind of cup of what they did in 71 against Chicago. Like, all these cups were different, but they all were one thing that really mattered. It was excellence. There was excellence around that organization. It started with ownership, with the Broffins and the Molsons. It started with, and then it went to the manager and Sam Pollock, and then it went to Ron Caron, excuse me, and to Scotty Bowman, and to Claude Ruel, and to Del Wilson, one of their scouts, and to Doug Robinson, another one of their scouts. I mean, that's the excellence that was celebrated every spring by that organization was phenomenal.
Let me just finish. Read how this piece finishes, because I know there's a lot of cynicism out there. There are a lot of different things that go into deciding where to play, family, contracts. But when it comes down to it, the biggest thing any hockey player wants is a winning culture. And the Montreal Canadiens have done that better than anyone in the history of the National Hockey League. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? That's how it ends. So if you're a UFA and you, or you're an agent for a UFA and you see this, how do you react?
I would say that's great, but Brendan's not scouting. Now you're asking me what I'd do if I was an agent.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'd say that's great, but Brendan's not scouting, and Brendan's not bringing in the players, and they don't have a lot of those two things right now. They don't have a lot of amateur guys coming through their system, and they don't have a lot of professional guys flowing through their system right now, and they're devoid of center ice play. And I don't see Stastny having Montreal's number two on his list. He may have it there. I spoke to his agent last night, Matt Cater, in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I was there watching hockey that he was coaching in. But I don't know that. I mean, I don't have him as Montreal being number two on their list. He very well may be. I don't know. But I know one thing, that they can get this fixed. But, again, there has to be a formal plan. There has to be a plan of doing it the Canadian way. And hopefully Mark's been able to do that with Jeff. Hopefully he's illustrated what he wants to try to accomplish over the next 2 to 3 years to get this thing back on track.
All right, one of the centermen, and it's no secret out there, Pierre Lebrun also wrote about it extensively yesterday in The Athletic, the interest in Ryan O'Reilly. And according to Pierre's piece, the asking price from Buffalo, as long as they are willing to pay the what is it, $7.5 million, I think, bonus on July 1, is a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a prospect. I don't think the Canadiens fan base has an appetite for trading their first-round pick next year to get Ryan O'Reilly. Would you?
Neither would I. That's not doing it the Montreal Canadian way.
But if you were to acquire, if you were to go out and acquire a second first-round pick, would you do it?
I would think about that. I would. I would think about that. But I'd also have to really know all the players that I took this year and have a after this camp that they're going through right now, and maybe Arpin can help you with that because I know he's reporting on it. I'm not there to watch it. But I'd want to know exactly where I thought some of these guys fit 2 and 3 years down the road with my team before I'd be just jettisoning first, second, and third round picks. I'll give you an example. Thomas Tatar is a nice player. He's a complimentary scorer. But what Vegas paid for him is a first, a second, and a third round pick. That's a lot for a supplemental scorer who may not even play again in Vegas. I don't know. I don't know whether he will or won't, because they have so much coming through their system. But they paid a lot to get him, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And
they overpaid.
They did. They overpaid because they were feeling it, which is great, and they didn't get Erik Karlsson, which they thought they had a chance to do, and they weren't able to do it. That just shows you the price pointing on players. But that bonus is something that I'm glad you brought up. Not many people bring that up. That's a significant part of the deal. That's a huge part of it.
Sure. Then the asking price goes up if Buffalo has to pay that.
Then it goes up exponentially.
So here's something I said earlier in the show I'd ask you as well. You mentioned the development camp. They drafted, what, eight? Did you count eight centermen? Not the first guy they drafted, but if they were to offer one of the eight centers, or, you know.
Well, with the, you know, again, it would depend on where a lot of these teams had some of these players slotted. I mean, I've talked to some teams that said, what are they doing? And I've talked to some teams that have said, well, they've done pretty well. So everybody's got their own opinion. That's the tough part of that whole thing. But that's why I would say, I'll give you an example. If I were running another team, one of the places I would have one of my scouts at would be the Canadiens development camp. Because I'd want to see just where some of these guys might slot in down the road. Because when you overcommit to something, you're not going to be able to keep all of them. And if they're all really good, like the Canadiens people are saying they are, what are they going to do with them all? They're going to have to move some of them, right? So you're going to want to watch them as they develop, whether it be at the development camp, whether it be at the main camp, playing exhibition games next year, going back to their junior team, going back to maybe their college team. But you're going to want to watch them.
It just seems like there's this funny, you know how magnets repel each other? You know when you try to push magnets together and you get the two charges on the same side? You know how they bounce off each other? That seems like the Canadiens and Max Pacioretty right now. It just seems like everything they say and do just is off.
Your friend Gord Miller, his final appearance of the hockey season with us in the final hour yesterday as we wrap up with Pierre McGuire today. One of the possible destinations for Max Pacioretty that we haven't thrown your way is Pittsburgh. Do you think Pittsburgh would be interested in him? Because, and I mentioned them only because Gallo yesterday mentioned Derek Brassard, who, like Pacioretty, has 1 year to go on his contract and is a center.
Yeah, no, but I think, and I'll just bring this up, I think there might be an appetite to try to move him to go big game hunting. They've already opened up some money. It looks like they're getting Jack Johnson signed. But I think they might try to move Derek. Because they've got Riley Sheahan signed to, I think it's a one-year extension. Gal, if I'm wrong on that, correct me, but I think it's a one-year extension on Riley Sheahan.
Yep.
So, and they see him as either a three or a four. Getting Brian Rust re-signed was big for them. Would Max fit there? Yes, but I don't see he and Brassard being, you know, together. I just would have a hard time seeing that. I still think they want to go big game hunting somewhere else.
Okay, and on the second and third tier of guys who are available out there, Pierre LeBrun reporting earlier today, the Canadiens are kicking tires on Xavier Ouellette, who was just bought out by Detroit.
Yeah, you can get him for nothing. So,
what do you think of him?
Oh, I like Xavier a lot. I do. I like his attitude. I like his work habits. I think he's, you know, maybe tries to do a little too much sometimes with the puck, and I think sometimes coaches get frustrated with that. But he's more than competent can play in the league. You just have to kind of rein him in a little bit. But no, he fits in. He would do a good job.
And Tobias Reeder.
I'm not as enamored as everybody else is on Tobias. You know, I think that there's some things that he can do, obviously, but I'm not nearly as enamored with him. But I know a lot of people think that he fits in as a depth player in their organization. Clearly, Phoenix didn't see that, and LA didn't see that. But I'm not as enamored as maybe some other people are.
And do you think, we seem to ask you this every year, that Nail Yakupov is salvageable?
Now I'm starting to get concerned. You know, it didn't work in Edmonton. It obviously didn't work in St. Louis. It didn't work in Colorado. He used to have Igor Larionov as an agent and a representative. He does not have him anymore. So I'm a bit concerned about him. I personally have had a very good relationship with him, so don't misread what I'm saying here. But I'm just concerned because it hasn't worked out, and people have tried to give him chances. I'm concerned about, you know, why parting ways with Igor. That was a little different. But that the talent level was clearly there. You would have thought they would have gone after him when they had Galchenyuk. they were junior teammates.
Yeah, but you know, we've heard that Mark Bergevin has never liked Yakupov. I don't know if that's accurate, Gallo.
I don't know either. But I would just say this: there would be a red flag out before I'd go out and get him.
All right, final one. If you were an Ottawa Senator fan right now,
uh-huh.
how would you describe everything that's going down, about to go down, and in the immediate aftermath of reports that have been denied that they're up for sale and are about to be sold?
I'm not worried about the team being sold. That shouldn't affect you at all. I wouldn't worry about that at all. What I'd be excited about, if I were an Ottawa Senator fan, I think their situation is amazingly salvageable. You've heard me talk about it ad nauseum with the Canadiens and having a limited player pool below the NHL level. That's not the case with Ottawa. Drake Batherson, Formenton are tremendous players. You know, I look at what they did this year with Brady Tkachuk going in there. I look at Colin White and the potential he has. I look at Thomas Chabot and the potential that he has. I think their situation is so salvageable. I look at their second pick in the first round this year, a kid named Jacob Bernard Docker. They've got so many assets. This could be fixed so quickly. It really could be. So if I were one of their fans, that's what I'd be focusing on. The young players that are filtering through their organization. The owners don't play. They just don't play. The players play, and the coaches coach, and the managers manage. And then eventually the owner has to own. But the players can really fix your situation in a hurry. Ask the guys in Tampa. Ask the guys in Tampa. If they didn't have the players, Mr. Vinnick's a great owner. He's a phenomenal owner. But if they didn't have the players, it wouldn't be that easy to fix.
Right now, it's like, give me some good news if you're a fan, right? They need some good news.
I'm telling you the truth. It's not even good news that I'm trying to embellish. It's legit. They've got tremendous young assets. Pierre Dorion Jr. has done a really good job with his scouting staff acquiring young assets. They really have.
One more time tomorrow?
I thought we were doing...
and then July 2nd.
Yeah, okay.
I mean like one more time before free agent frenzy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and hopefully
are
by...
Are we going to get together when I come?
I hope so.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't mind spending time in a lake up there.
That'll be later on in July.
Oh, I see. So you're just coming to Laval.
I'm coming just for a one-hit wonder. And then later in July, after another silly hockey situation gets ended, I'll be able to come up and spend 10 days there. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to come visit.
Okay. Look forward to it. In the meantime, we'll chat tomorrow at
early part of August.
We'll chat tomorrow at 5:05
yes,
and maybe have a significant trade to discuss. Who knows?
That would be good. We're getting there. All right, my friend. See you, Mitch.
Bye.